Hello, this is Dr. Adam Splaver, and this is Warrior Health, and today I'm going to speak to you about atherosclerosis. I have to apologize. It's been quite some time that I've been doing this podcast, and yet I haven't spoken to you about atherosclerosis. What am I talking about? Atherosclerosis is actually the hardening of the arteries, the clogging of the arteries, and this occurs anywhere in the body. It happens in the legs, it happens in the brain, it happens in the heart. When it happens in the heart, it's called coronary artery disease. What happens in the brain is called cerebrovascular disease. What happens in the arteries of the body is called peripheral vascular disease. But really, it's all the same process. It's all the same disease. And what happens is that the lining of the artery, of the vessel, becomes damaged some way, somehow, either through blood pressure or inflammation or just trauma, stress. And when that happens, the body's natural tendency is to fix it, to heal it. And what happens is the body then starts recruiting in all these different types of cells. All these different types of chemicals are secreted. And in patching it up, it actually causes more damage, almost like a scar forms, eventually almost like a pimple. And when this happens, when you get all this inflammation, and foam cells and macrophages and all these other fancy cells that are living in there, you almost form like a like I said, a pimple, a zit. And eventually, either the pimple gets so big it closes off that artery, it actually calcifies, it gets hard, and it closes off that artery, or the pimple ruptures, causing an acute situation where you actually have a heart attack, because all of a sudden blood flow stops to that area of the heart. And you end up having horrible chest pain or jaw pain or pain that goes down your arm. Many patients will have shortness of breath, sweating, and nausea. All these things can be signs that you acutely or you suddenly closed off an artery. Whereas if you have this occur over a long period of time where the artery just slowly closes off, you have symptoms that come on slowly. Like you're only able to walk 3 blocks when you used to be able to walk 5, or you're only able to walk 2 blocks when you're able to walk 5. And the reason why that happens and you don't have the acute chest pain is because as time progresses and your heart sees that it's not getting enough blood flow, it creates what we call collaterals most of the time. It creates other pathways for blood to get to the areas that need it. But those collaterals aren't like the normal arteries. And what happens is that you outstrip the supply and you end up with those symptoms of pain or shortness of breath or nausea or sweating only after you exert yourself. So how do we know that you have coronary disease? I mean, typically, we don't really know that you have, many people don't know they have coronary disease until it's actually too late. Typically, patients have symptoms once the artery is closed off by 70% or more, 70% or more. And that occurs, down the road after the disease has taken hold. So what do we do with patients that have blockages less than 70%? How do we pick those up? Well, in the traditional sense, you know, we see our patients, we get a history, we do a physical, we do some labs, but all those things aren't really going to tell us what's going on with the pipes, the condition of the pipes. And in those patients that we have absolutely no evidence of coronary disease from the outside or from any of the tests that we do, many times I will order a test on them called a coronary calcium score. And that score, basically what it is where they take you and they fling you through a CAT scanner, literally fling you through a CAT scanner. No IVs, you don't have to change your clothes. It's just in and out of a CAT scanner within, you know, a minute. And what they do is they calculate how much calcium there is in the arteries. Because the more the calcium, the more the atherosclerosis, the more the blocked arteries. And we know a calcium score of 0 or no calcium is awesome. It has a very low likelihood of any coronary disease, whereas a calcium score over 400 is something pretty bad. It indicates that you have significant, moderate to severe, or severe coronary disease. So in those patients that are completely asymptomatic, have no evidence of coronary disease from the outside, this test, this non-invasive test, is a great way to detect whether or not we need to be more aggressive with risk factors that you have for coronary disease. So what do? In patients that have coronary disease, we lower their blood pressure. We work with their sugars. We work with their cholesterol. So we try to have them lose weight, have them stop smoking. Smoking is a very big inflammatory process that accelerates atherosclerosis, that actually accelerates the blocking of arteries. We have people get better sleep. Sleep is a very big issue. We work with their hormones, their thyroid, their cortisol. All these things are extremely important, including testosterone and estrogen. They found that patients who actually balanced their hormones actually had better quality of life metrics, had better 6-minute walk tests, and stayed out of the hospital longer for congestive heart failure or for anginal symptoms if they had coronary disease. So again, when you have patients that are completely asymptomatic and yet have the evidence of disease through this test, it gives us more information as clinicians, as doctors, as nurse practitioners, physician assistants, to be more aggressive to lower that future risk of closing off the artery. Mind you, many times we can slow things down. Sometimes we can even stop. It's difficult to reverse. There are some things that you can do to reverse atherosclerosis, and that goes with all those things being very strict with your medication regimen, being strict in losing weight, being strict in your diet, taking out all those inflammatory type foods, staying away from those fried foods, using more plant-based diet is very, very helpful. Staying away from sugars and simple carbohydrates like pasta, rice, potatoes, bread, cookies, cake, candy, juices, and alcohol. All those things are sugars. And getting a proper amount of sleep, believe it or not, sleep issues play a toll because it actually causes inflammation and prevents you from repairing physically your body, not to mention emotionally and mentally. Your body needs its rest. So with all those things, one can work with coronary disease or slow it down or maybe pause that process. In patients that are actually having symptoms of coronary disease, how do we pick up these blockages? Well, we run a stress test. Typically what we do is we can do it a number of ways. We can either have them run on a treadmill or use a bicycle and watch their EKG, watch the squiggles while all this is going down, and see if there are any significant changes that may indicate that there may be problems with blood flow to an area of the heart. Many times we can couple this exercise stress test with imaging, either with an echocardiogram or with nuclear imaging, like MyoView or thallium, and in some cases even a PET scan. And we can look at all the areas of the heart and see if they light up on stress or if they're moving properly with stress and thickening properly with stress in comparison to rest. And by doing so, we can demonstrate areas that have concern for having enough or not enough blood flow. And in those situations where patients have what we call a positive stress test, have an area of their heart that doesn't light up on stress, but does light up on rest, we then can recommend a patient to undergo what we call an angiogram, a cardiac catheterization. Mind you, one can have a cardiac catheterization virtually through a CAT scan. However, once the anatomy is shown, once we see the lay of the land with a CAT scan, or CT angio as we call it, you really can't do anything except for do a catheterization or a cardiac catheterization, an angioplasty or stent by actually physically going in. So in those patients that have a positive stress test, we typically will recommend a cardiac catheterization and or stenting. And when they go in there, when they take that catheter and they put it in an artery either in the arm or the leg and they feed it up the arteries of the heart, they're able to actually take pictures of those arteries, inject contrast or dye. And that contrast or dye will show narrowing of the lumen, narrowing of the pipe. And again, if it's over 70%, then they can put in a stent or do a balloon to open it up. And they can use even certain fancy devices. They can use intravascular ultrasound. They can use what we call FFR, a fractional flow reserve wire, to see or quantitate how much that artery is actually blocked. Now, what's interesting, when they initially started opening up arteries, they just actually only used a balloon. And the balloon basically went to the area where the artery was the most narrowed, and they inflated it, and it basically cracked open that area and help restore blood flow. The problem is that when we do that, many times we're creating more damage. We're creating more damage to the wall, the lining of the artery or endothelium. And what happens when we damage the wall? And then it recruits all these inflammatory cells, and cytokines or chemicals are reduced to increase inflammation. And eventually those patients actually close that artery down. So that's when they invented the stent, or this little metal spring that they actually put in place after an angioplasty, after they do a balloon. And that stent forces the artery to stay open. And more recently, they were able to coat these stents to prevent a scar from forming, because many times foreign bodies will cause a scar to form. And that's really where we're at with the technology in terms of where stents are. There are actually newer stents that may be dissolvable, actually disappear over time. But that's really the overview of working up coronary disease, specifically atherosclerosis that manifests as coronary disease. We're able to also look at atherosclerosis in the neck, in the carotid arteries. Those are the main arteries that actually go up to the brain. And one can do that just by doing a simple ultrasound. You can look and see if there's any increase in velocity, because higher velocity means a smaller artery, or you can actually physically look at the artery itself and see if the walls have atherosclerotic debris, or as we call it, schmutz. Actually, no, that's not really what we call it, but that's what it is. It's actually garbage that lives in the arteries. It blocks the arteries. And in doing so, we're able to at least plot out a course to help our patient prevent them from having a stroke, because that would be devastating. And in other situations where there are arteries that are blocked in the body elsewhere, in the legs, mainly in the legs, those patients will present with signs of what we call claudication, where they have pain or heaviness in their legs. They become tired when they exert themselves. So when patients have that, we do either an ultrasound or we get other imaging modalities, CAT scans, to look at blood flow to those areas. And again, we can do interventions. We can do balloon angioplasty and stenting. We can even do bypass. Those are just some of the ways that we deal with atherosclerotic disease in the legs or in the rest of the body. So the key, really, and I tell this to all my patients, and even actually people I meet. I mean, there are times I meet people in the store, or in you know, walking around shopping, or out in the world, and they find out that I'm a cardiologist. Many people say, "Oh, I'm so happy I don't need you." And I say, whoa. It's all about prevention. It's all about finding out problems before they become big. And so I would actually disagree that everyone needs a cardiologist and everyone needs to be screened, because you don't want to wake up in your 50s or 60s and realize, oh my God, I really should have changed things 10, 20 years ago, maybe even 30 years ago. Because once the disease takes hold, it's very difficult to reverse it. It's very difficult to halt the progression of it. And you're left with basically a salvage effort. You're left with, okay, what can we do to help make this not as bad? Because whenever we do these stents, whenever we do these angioplasties, and I completely forgot to mention that in patients that have severe disease of the heart, of the arteries of the heart, we actually don't do stents and we don't do balloon angioplasty. We actually do bypass surgery. We're actually able to take either veins from the leg or arteries from the chest or the wrist or the arm, and we're actually able to bypass those blockages. But bottom line is, by doing all these different things, we're just basically putting Band-Aids on a smoldering inflammatory process. We're actually not taking care of the cause of this disease, which we know is inflammation, which we know is blood pressure, which we know is diabetes, which we know is cholesterol, which we know is based on environmental stress. So with all my patients, whether you have coronary disease or not, whether you've had a stent or bypass or not, getting a hold and reining in a lot of these traditional and non-traditional markers, can we preserve the quality of your life, preserve the patency or openness of your arteries? And that, my friends, is the long and short of atherosclerosis. And this is Warrior Health with Dr. Adam Splaver.